Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Here we go. The dress rehearsal is now over, and the NBA regular season will get underway on Christmas Day, and the Dallas Mavericks will look to defend their NBA championship. The good news is they have, for the most part, the same nucleus and majority of main core players returning. But the biggest question mark is who will emerge, who will fill the big, big shoes of the Mavs' former center, Tyson Chandler, who has now moved on to New York in the offseason. The gentleman who always provides the best insight and perspective, the Mavs' main man, their television play-by-play announcer, Mark Folliwell, who must have been a really good boy this year in the offseason, because who knew Santa was going to come to Texas in the month of June and deliver an NBA championship. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas, Mark. It's great to have you back on with us.
You got it, Alyssa. Merry Christmas to you and happy holidays and Merry Christmas wishes to all of your listeners.
Absolutely. Well, 2011, it truly was, Mark, a season to remember for the Dallas Mavs, but now it's time to roll up the sleeves and get back to work in this abbreviated season after the NBA lockout. The Mavs, they dropped their first and only two preseason assignments to the Oklahoma City Thunder. How meaningful, Mark, are those preseason games, and what did you learn?
Oh, I don't know that there's a whole lot of meaning. I think that the meaning is that, you have people that are trying to get some rhythm and get their conditioning right, and that probably was the biggest thing that the Mavs wanted to try to get accomplished in the preseason. Some things that I learned, I did see some intriguing things out of some young players because some of these guys are going to be counted on this year, like Roddy Bobois and Dominic Jones and Brandon Wright, and they're not being counted on for a role every night, but they are being counted on for at least some contributions this year because of the compressed nature of the schedule. And there's going to be nights when the Mavs just can't ask the veteran legs to do, to carry all the workload and keep this team fresh for a run of the playoffs once the playoffs roll around in 4 months. So I saw some things out of them that made me think that they'll be able to help from time to time this year. There still will be growing pains with those young kids, though, but I'd like to think that there will be some nights where they'll provide a little scoring punch or a little something energy-wise off the bench. I thought Oklahoma City looked really good, and I do think that the fact that they are completely back, everybody that was on the team of the Western Conference Finals is back other than Byron Mullins, who they just traded this week to the Charlotte Bobcats for a second-round pick. So I guess I should say everyone of consequence for the Oklahoma City Thunder is back, and I think that that means that they're really poised to hit the ground running whenever the regular season starts, and their preseason performances certainly would be indicative of that, that I think that they're going to be very good at the beginning of the year, and quite frankly, if they stay healthy, very, very good all year. And the other thing that I think I learned, Alyssa, was that I saw some things out of Lamar Odom that make me think that he's going to be able to step into and provide some of the things intangible-wise that Tyson Chandler provided. He delivered a hard foul on Nick Collison after a play where he thought Collison took some liberties and set too hard of a screen on Jerome Randall.
Yeah.
And I thought that, we had a shot where I don't know exactly what it was that he said, but it didn't take a brain surgeon to realize that he was delivering some sort of message to some guys in the huddle about the quality of their play at that point in time. So there were some things there from a leadership standpoint and from a having people's back standpoint that I liked out of Lamar Odom.
And it truly has been one of the biggest storylines about Lamar Odom. Help us get to know him a little bit better, Mark, because let's quantify his value and what he does bring. I mean, he's got great length, his versatility, the complete package. A lot of people want to know, how will he blend in with Dirk and fit into the Maverick lineup?
Well, I think that if Lamar and Pau Gasol could be on the floor as the 4-5 combo and close out games and big games and the Lakers could win those games, then certainly I would think that you could have Lamar and Dirk on the floor together as the 4-5 combo at the end of games and be able to get some good things done. So I do think that he'll, as time goes on, mesh well with Dirk. It may not be perfect right out of the chute, but I do think that that's going to be a very, very intriguing lineup combination for the Mavericks to be able to use on the floor in close game, late game situations. And to me, you commented on his versatility. You're exactly right. I think that the thing about Lamar Odom is he does pretty much everything to some degree well. Passes, rebounds, defends, shoots from the outside, can drive it. So he's very, very skilled and very versatile and well-rounded. And he's got something that no other Maverick has, and that is Lamar Odom has experience defending a championship. Now you've got some champions on this team, but what they all don't have is the experience defending it and playing every night where, each team you go see is going to give you their best game. and it's going to be a measuring stick for other teams around the league more so than ever. It's one thing when the teams are measuring themselves against the Mavs when they were 50-win teams and going to, you know, the conference finals or the NBA finals. I mean, I certainly think that there's been a measuring stick aspect of who the Mavericks are in the past for other teams. But now it really is the case. I mean, the target is squarely on your back right now because you're the champs. And so Lamar Odom has experience of what it's like dealing with that from night to night to night, and I think that maybe he can provide some insight that will help the Mavs deal with that as they navigate those uncharted waters this year.
Well, and Lamar does understand what it takes, as you said, Mark, to defend a championship, but also to have the opportunity, you look at his resume, to have played for a legendary coach like Phil Jackson, the Zen Master. That's where Lamar really can lend that helping hand in the locker room, on the court, with these younger guys and helping them step up and to understand and motivate them that they got to come out and give 100% every single night.
Well, sure. There's no substitute, that is, for having been there and done that. Experience is a very valuable thing. I know sometimes people get enamored with young players, and I certainly understand that, but ultimately the thing that wins in this league is having experience and being tested and having been through the wars and knowing how to react and respond. And so Lamar Odom has all of those things in his favor. As you said, he's played for great coaches, and look, there's no substitute for that as well. There's obviously, you know, you're always learning in this game. And when you surround yourself with great people and great minds of the game and have picked those things up and you can pass that knowledge along and move it along to the next person, then hey, you know what? That's certainly something. If he had something to say to me, you know, I'd listen. If I were a young guy in the league and he had something to say to me and this guy had two rings and had been in the league 12 years and had played with Kobe Bryant for 7 of the 12 years, you better believe I'd listen to what he had to say.
Well, Mark, and he certainly received a very warm reception from the fans in that first preseason game, and you were on the call.
I wasn't surprised by that at all. I think that, part of the reason, as and you may think I'm a little crazy for it, but certainly he's got some name recognition amongst non-basketball fans, too, because of the reality show. And, you know, I don't think that's a distraction or anything like that, but, it does elevate his like I said, his name recognition maybe a little bit more than a player of his ilk would be. So that's I'm sure that had a little something to do with the warm reception. But people, you know, realize that, hey, look, the guy's won championships and he's part of it and he's going to help. And everyone's excited about the Maverick franchise right now. So the fact that they would embrace any new member of it, that shouldn't really be a surprise to
him. Well, Mark, I certainly am fired up by the acquisition, and I know that the Mavs are thrilled that they've landed him, and he will help Dallas right away. It's interesting, you know, we started off our conversation, you brought up the name Rodrigue Beaubois, and he had 17 points in that first preseason game, and I just really saw some maturity out of him. He didn't force things. He only, in those first two preseason games, had 3 turnovers. He's shown marked improvement and really fits into the offensive structure, didn't force anything. Did you see that, too, as a real positive?
Well, yes, I certainly saw that as a positive, and I think that the biggest positive is it certainly looks like Roddy is healthy, and so he doesn't have to deal with, am I going to re-injure my foot? How hard can I push myself? What can I do? What can't I do? You know, there's really, really good things in that regard. The other thing, too, is maybe what we're seeing is that, you know, for a couple of years now, people have kept on trying to think that, well, the way Roddy's going to get on the floor is that he's got to be a point guard. And Rick Carlisle has talked about the fact that, look, that, you know, where Roddy was most successful as a rookie was when he was out on the floor with the two-guard, as a two-guard playing alongside Jason Kidd. Now, there's obviously a lot of depth at the two-guard position, and so will he get every minute there? No. Might he play minutes at what appears to be the one? Certainly, that's possible. But I think that the main thing that you need with Roddy is that when he gets out on the floor, it feels like he has to have the responsibility of running the team and initiating the offense and doing the point guard things. Then I think that that becomes more of a challenge for Roddy, and I think that he starts thinking a little bit too much. And, look, he has a great skill in just going out there and attacking and scoring. And so if the Mavs can put him in a position and Rick Carlisle can put him in a position where he can just focus on this one thing that he does very, very well, and if he does it very, very well, will help the team, then I think that, you give the kid an opportunity to succeed. I mean, that's a big part of what coaching is putting people in an opportunity to be successful. And I think that Rick was able to do that in his first year. Last year with him not being healthy and then trying to kind of force him into the picture, It was a little bit harder to do that this year or last year, and we all know how that ended up going. So I'm excited about what he brings to the table this year, because I think he's got a chance to be placed in a scenario where his, you know, his strengths will be played to, for lack of a better term.
Okay, since we're talking about the backcourt position, let's zero in on one of the veterans, and that, of course, 14th year in the NBA, Vince Carter. How will he fit into Rick Carlisle's system?
Well, I would suspect that he'll start the year come Christmas Day as their opening day starting two guard. And I think that he fills a void that is most comparable to what Caron Butler brought before he got hurt. If you look at their career statistics and look at, you know, a lot of their statistics per 48 minutes over the course of their career, you would find them, you know, pretty shockingly similar. You know, Vince has been able to get to the free throw line more often in his career, although that part of his game isn't nearly what it used to be. And defensively, Caron Butler, you would definitely have to say, is a better player defensively than what Vince Carter brings to the table. So, but more than anything, you know, I heard Mark Cuban give an interview before the start of the season, and really, I think right about the start of training camp, that alluded to one thing that they needed to do this year was make sure to have some offensive players on the floor that would be able to take some of the load off Dirk, that he wouldn't have to be dependent on quite as much as on offense. And so I think that's kind of part of what the thought process was behind bringing Vince Carter in here, because he has a skill set, at least statistically speaking, he has had performances in his career there that at this stage of the game are pretty similar to what Caron Butler provided them. So I think that's where you see Vince Carter fit in, is getting a lot of the touches that he would have gotten.
Very well said. You're listening to the voice of the Mavs television play-by-play announcer. That is the great Mark Folliwell, who is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. And I got to ask you, Mark, I've got real curiosity about their head coach, Rick Carlisle. He is very masterful in all that he does, accomplished as a player. You know, he won an NBA title with the Celtics and now as a head coach with the Mavs. But he truly does have his work cut out for him, because he doesn't have Tyson Chandler or J.J. Barea or Caron Butler, as you just mentioned, Corey Brewer. And there's no Sweet Pea. We have no Peja Stojakovic anymore. So how will he respond to this challenge? How do you think he's going to do as a head coach?
I think he's going to embrace the challenge. And I think that he is not going to let the team, you know, spend all this time sitting on resting on their laurels and patting themselves on the back for last year. I suspect that pretty soon Rick is going to start telling everybody that it's time to stop asking questions about last year. And, you know, look, I think he would say something along the lines of how they, you know, appreciate what they did and have great memories of the accomplishment. And you know, certainly they realize they did a great thing, but you know, the league moves on. And no one's going to give them anything this year, and they're going to have to go out and earn everything that they get. So I'm sure that he will probably look at things along those lines. But, you know, to me, Rick is a guy who, no matter what the challenge is, if it's injuries or suspensions, as you know, he was the coach in Indiana when they, when they were just torn apart by suspensions.
That's right.
Overall, there at the Palace of Auburn Hills, the Ron Artest situation. And that year, the Pacers went 44-38, I want to say, and ended up making the playoffs. And they had to mix and match lineups every game all year long because so many people were suspended and or hurt. And they managed to make the playoffs. And look, Rick would say the same thing about this team now, that with, you know, faces changing. He said it the other night. He said that there are opportunities here for people to step into situations and succeed. He said, I don't want to say that they're here to fill voids, because I don't want to act like that, that even though intellectually I think he knows that, yeah, sure, the guys that were here, you're going to certainly miss some things that they brought, but his viewpoint of it is that, you know, there's opportunities for other people to step in and perform, and they're on the team. You know, he would say that when someone's hurt and you have to plug in a guy behind them and fill those minutes, he'd say, look, he's on the team for a reason. He has a job to do. And he knows what his job is, and he knows what's expected out of him. So we have him here for a reason, and we expect him to go out and succeed. So Rick is, I think, just a great guy at handling these situations, and I have all the respect in the world for him as a coach, did before the championship, and even more so now, as he demonstrated that he just, you know, knew how to manage the roster and knew what all of his guys were capable of doing and or not doing, and put them in a position to succeed. And I have no doubt that he's going to put guys in the best position to succeed again this year.
And, of course, that success is going to hinge upon their ability to play defense and to rebound. And they were out-rebounded in those first two preseason games by the Thunder. That truly has to be a point of emphasis. And is that what you're hearing a lot when you're at practice from Coach Carlisle?
sure, that's definitely part of it. You know, you've got to, when you lose a rebounder like Tyson Chandler, I mean, you know, I think some people would say that it all falls on the center position, and it's certainly, you know, some of that workload, of course, does fall on those that are going to play the center position and replace Chandler. But you've got to take a team mentality to it. I've heard him use the term gang rebound before. I've heard other coaches use that term. And so it's not just one guy or one position that has to pick up the slack rebounding-wise. It's everyone. And that's certainly, you know, going forward is going to be something that we'll have to watch, because they certainly, you know, need to continue to perform well in that aspect of the game. Not that they were a great rebounding team last year, but when they went up against good rebounding teams in the playoffs, Portland was one, and at least offensive rebounding-wise, Portland was very good. The Lakers were a good rebounding team, and they were able to hold their own. Were they beating those teams on the glass? No, but they weren't getting manhandled on the glass either, and I think that's kind of how you look at it. Just, you know, be confident at it, be good enough to hold your own, and that should put you in a position with all the other things you do well to win.
We're getting ready to wrap up our radio interview with Mark Folwell, and it is interesting. You know, you probably don't remember the movie Working Girl, but I remember a great line by her.
Melanie Griffith.
There you go. Well, there was a great...
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, and Harrison Ford says in that boardroom, he says, the players may have changed, but the game remains the same. The name of the game is Let's Make a Deal. Well, the players have changed for the Mavs, but the game remains the same. Let's go out and defend an NBA championship, and they're going to do that against Miami. Just give us a quick preview of what you anticipate, because they definitely have that target on their backs, as you were talking about earlier, Mark.
Well, it's going to be a wonderful day to get to see the banner unveiled, first of all, and that's going to get started a little bit after 1 o'clock Central Time for those that are at home and want to watch it on television. So that's going to be wonderful to see the satisfaction of getting to do that. And then, quite honestly, I expect that, you know, Miami's going to come out with all the motivation in the world because they're going to see that banner go up, and there's going to be a reminder about the fact that they felt like that they you know, didn't get done what they wanted to get done last year, and it was Dallas who knocked them off that perch and kept them from getting what I think they thought was theirs. I mean, there were so many people that were crowning them champions last year, and they didn't actually get to take the crown. So I'm sure that there's a bitter taste in their mouth about that, and I'm sure that they're going to play very, very hard and try to hit the ground running and come out and exact a little revenge. Even though, you know, nothing will ever replace what happened in the 2011 finals, they're certainly going to want to strike first, if you will, whenever the game rolls around on Christmas Day.
You bet. Revenge certainly will be a great motivator. It'll be so much fun to be there and to watch it. And we'll let you go. You're probably, what, off to a 10-mile run to burn off all those Christmas calories, right, Mark?
At some point, I see a run in my future, but we'll see how it goes, and we'll see if I can manage that Christmas calorie intake and not have to do too many 10-mile runs.
Okay, direct all of our listeners where they can go and find out more ticket information, too.
Oh, it's 214-747-MAVS, mavs.com. You know, there certainly are opportunities to get to see the world champs this year for sure. There's plans that are available. There's single-game tickets that are available, so... you know, there's you know, a lot of people that are going to be at games, but there's also, you know, don't want people to think that the opportunity has passed them by if they want to go see the Mavs. That certainly has not been the case. So, you know, make sure you go out and reach out to people regarding that, because it's obviously going to be a fun place to be this year.
Absolutely. Mark, Merry Christmas. Thanks again for stopping by. We look forward to catching up with you and having another conversation about your Mavs.
Yeah, you got it, Alyssa. Again, Merry Christmas to you and to all of your listeners.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead. We're talking college football here in just a moment.